You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
Let's try it again. Good morning. That's better. Let's stand and begin. We're going to do an old song that we haven't done in a long time. It's actually a Sunday school song, Days of Elijah. I think we're stuck with doing the actions ourselves. Please turn and greet one another this morning. If you'd like to turn in your bulletins, we'll go through just a few announcements today. Well, the first off, that I think they are working out at Kathy Johnson's after church today. Is that right? Does anyone know that for sure? They are. So we could use some help out there. Julie and I have to go to the nursing home. We're preaching over there at 2 o'clock, but if we could get some help out at Kathy's to, I know we need some strong guys. I was told to carry this, and I know this desk really well. It's a roll top desk and it's upstairs, I believe. We need to get it downstairs. And that's going to take at least 4 guys. I think Donnie Hostrup and John Erkus lifted on it the other day. And if they couldn't do it, we better make sure that we have at least 4 guys. So if you could help out with that, that would be great. And I think that's right after church. Also, if you'd like to join us over at the nursing home, any of you, we are preaching today and doing some music over there at 2 o'clock. Also this week, council meets at 8 o'clock or at 7 o'clock on August 8th. That's this Thursday. And also just a note there for Blue Water Women's Fall Retreat. And also a huge thank you to all those who worked so hard with VBS. We had just an amazing turnout and it was incredible to see all the activity in our backyard going on after that, even though it was really hot and I almost died from heat exhaustion. It was still worth it all. And so thank you so much for all of you. That it was amazing. Also, we have a couple Popple Ridge concerts this week. One Tuesday, 7 o'clock at the Hallett Gazebo, if you'd like to come out to that. And also Friday at 5 p.m. at the Greenbush Community Center. That is for a benefit for, I can't remember his name, a Foster, I think it is, who had a transplant.
Evan Foster,
thank you. I could not get that first name. And what transplant did he have, do you know? Was it kidney or? I don't remember either. But if you'd come out for that, I know they really need a lot of help with expenses. So that is at 5 o'clock on Friday at the Greenbush Community Center. Also, we have a blood drive going on here on August 19th. It's a Monday. Starts at 2 o'clock. So if you'd like to sign up for that to volunteer, donate, and or help out, let us know. And that's at 2 o'clock on Monday, August 19th. Okay, any other announcements this morning before we get on to the day? Okay, scripture and prayer. I just did. That's okay. I'm not even going to go there today because I want to say something so bad, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be kind. Thank you.
I'm going to read from Romans 6, 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day that you've given us to be together. We thank you for the freedoms that we have in our country, Lord, that we can worship you. We just pray, Lord, that you'll continue to guide us in keeping those freedoms, Lord. Help us to be bold and tell the truth and to stand up for what's right, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that we'll humble ourselves to you each day, Lord, so that you can use us. And Lord, we just thank you for the words that you give us in your Bible, Lord. And we just pray that you'll help us to use those words to lift people up, to encourage, but to be truthful and not to hurt, Lord, and just to show your love. We just pray that you'll help us to do that each day, Lord, no matter whether we're at work or in the community or wherever we are, just pray that you'll help us to speak what you want us to speak, Lord. Lord, we just pray for all those unspoken prayers, Lord, that we may have that are heavy on our hearts. Lord, you know what they are, and Lord, I just pray that you'll just work in each life, touch each person, and if any of us can be lifting people up and encouraging them and helping them in any way, Lord, I just pray that you'll speak that to our hearts. Lord, we just pray for Lucille's family. Lord, we just thank you for the blessing that she's been for our community and our church. Just pray that you'll continue to be with Mary and her family and all the rest of the relatives too, Lord. We just pray that they'll feel your love and your presence near them. Just pray for safety as they travel and as anyone else is traveling too, Lord. Lord, we just pray for John Eberle, Lord, for his throat and his severe heartburn that he's been struggling with. I just pray for wisdom for the doctors so that they can find something that would help him. And we also just pray for healing, Lord, for him and encouragement. Lord, we just continue to pray for Michael Steen. We just thank you that the antibiotics have been working and he is feeling better. We just pray for continued healing and that the pain would be gone. Lord, we just pray for Lorraine. She's waiting for surgery, for insurance to be approved. And Lord, we just pray that your hand will come upon that to make it all approved so that she can be having her surgery and get some relief from the pain that she's had, Lord. We just pray for a healing and encouragement and lifting up for her, Lord. And Lord, we just also pray for Anne, Lord, who's having medical tests with possible brain tumor back, Lord. And I just pray that you'll intervene, Lord, and just touch her, heal her, encourage her, help her faith just to be put into you, Lord, and just give her wisdom to the doctors and whoever else is helping her, Lord. Lord, we just thank you that Lloyd's arm and Dick's arm are both healing from surgery, and we just thank you, Lord, that the pain isn't as bad as it had been, and we just pray that you continue to strengthen that also. Lord, we just pray for Julius Otto, Lord, who's been in an accident, and I pray for healing. Just pray that he'll feel your presence near him, Lord, and just feel the encouragement from people around him. We just pray that you'll just lift him up, Lord. Lord, we just also pray for all those with mental health and depression, Lord. Lord, Satan loves to use that on people, Lord, and I just pray that you will just bring people into their lives that lift them up and encourage them. Help them to see in your word, Lord, that you are the source of all true love and joy and peace, Lord. Just pray that you'll strengthen them all. And Lord, we just thank you so much that Carly is here visiting, Lord. We just pray that you'll continue to work in her life, Lord. Help her back and her legs. Just pray for healing. Pray for answers for her, Lord, and just encouragement and that she feels your presence near her each day. We also thank you that Ross and Janet are doing well with their cancer battle too, but we just continue to pray for healing for them, Lord, as well, and encouragement for them. And Lord, we just pray for our weather, Lord. We just pray that you'll give us just the right amount of rain that we need, Lord. We thank you for the rain that we have had. We thank you for the warmth that we've had, and we just thank you for the way things are growing. We're just so thankful for what you're doing, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you'll continue to guide us, Lord, in our walk with you. I just pray that you'll give us wisdom and show us truth and give us grace as we give grace to others. Just pray, Lord, that you'll be with Galen as he has the message today. And with the communion, Lord, I pray that you'll help us each to just humble ourselves and just look to you and praise you. Just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Faye. I forgot to announce, too, that next Sunday, Calvin Johnson and Monica will be here and giving a message and presenting their ministry before they head back. So if you could come for that'd be awesome, and encourage Calvin and Monica and just bless them. Also, the flowers in front of the pulpit here are from service yesterday. So it was such a blessing. Thank you, all those who came and helped celebrate Lucille's life. It was such an incredible blessing. Also, when Julie and I got home yesterday, there were flowers on our table with no name on them. And they're wildflowers, and they're amazingly beautiful. And so if you'd like to confess right now, you could raise your hand. Huh. Nobody's confessing. Must not be here. But they're beautiful. Every once in a while, somebody shows up to encourage us when they know things have been a little bit stressful in our lives. So you're all amazing. So thank you so much for that. We are going to have our time of offering, and I think we have a video or something from VBS. Is it called an action clip? Kind of? Okay, spotlight drama. So if we could have the ushers come forward, we'll say a prayer first, and then we will continue on. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. God, we praise you that you are our Abba Father, and that you provide all things for us. Lord, we thank you, God, for the work that you are doing here, and we pray, Father, as we prayed yesterday, that you would finish the work that you began in us. And so we give this offering to you, Lord, and we pray that you would bless it. We praise you for the gift, God, of just coming together as your family to worship you. We praise you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once there was a guy named Joshua. That's him. He was the leader of a huge group of called the Israelites. God's special people. Don't they? God told Joshua to lead his people and take over a big city called Jericho. It would be their new home. How could they capture a huge city like Jericho? The whole city was surrounded by huge, thick walls and super-duper tall walls. But Joshua remembered that God is strong. God would help them knock down the walls to get inside Jericho. God wanted the priests to blow their trumpets. Really loud. The rest of the Israelites would march around the city. But they couldn't make a peep. So they marched. Marched and marched. They were wiped out. They marched once around the city for 6 days. On the seventh day, they marched around the city 7 times. Then they stopped and dumped all the rocks out of their sandals. Rushed in and captured the city. That day, everyone knew without a doubt, God is strong.
Thank you all again for those who helped with VBS. We had how many kids the first day? About 80? Yeah, something like that, and somewhere hovered in there. I know there was almost 100 at our house for hot dogs. We went through 100 hot dogs anyway, or close to it. So we're going to continue with worship, and please stand and join us. We will begin by singing, "There is a Redeemer." Please stand.
There is a Redeemer.
awesome in this place.
Come so mistrust. Just thank you for your healing rain, Lord. Whether we've got physical, mental, or emotional hurts, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we can come before you and lay them before you. We can lay the shame and the sadness and the fear all aside and just come before you and be cleansed. We just thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please be seated. We'll move into our time of communion, so if I could have the diaconate come forward, we will share in communion together. Excuse me. Our church is pretty unique in so many ways. As I thought about when I was first asked that they would like me to preach on baptism, and I thought, there are so many different denominations coming together here. And we have Baptist, we're Presbyterian, we have Lutheran, me included. We have Covenant, we have Pentecostal. I'm not even sure of the others, maybe Catholic. Did I forget anybody? There's a lot, and there's a lot of views on baptism. So we're going to look at it today, and actually, when we met as a church board, we know that there have been requests for a baptism service. So that's going to be coming in the very, very near future. So if you would like to be baptized, I would like you to contact me, and we are, right now the plan is we're going to bring a tank in here, and we're going to do the baptisms right here, full immersion baptisms, just like they did. It's not the Jordan, but it might be a stock tank. So we're going to be doing that in the very near future, so please contact me, because I don't want to miss anybody. I think sometimes I maybe haven't spoken strong enough about the importance of baptism. So I pray that after today, you won't be more confused, but that you'll have a better understanding. Me as a covenant pastor, as I get into it, you'll see that I have to do some things, and I have to promise to do things as a covenant pastor. And if I don't do that, I can't be a covenant pastor. And I think you'll see why as we get into it. So I hope I haven't confused you already. So what we're going to look at today is why, what is baptism and why is it so important? In terms of baptism in this church and in many churches, there are many thoughts of whether to do infant baptism or believer baptism, adult baptism, I should say, or whether you do both. And so many of these thoughts are found in Scripture. And as a covenant pastor, I have to be willing to do both. But before we get too far, I just want to give you some of these scriptures and references that you can check out that mention baptism, and they're not going to be on the screen. So if you want to jot them down on your sermon notes, you sure can, and look them up later, because I don't want to spend our time just looking and reading scripture. I'd rather have you go home and really search it out for yourself. Here's just a few in Acts 2, 38 and 39. We hear that Peter told the people to repent and be baptized, every single one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And then Peter says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children. Then in Acts 16, 15, the Lord opened the heart of Lydia, and the result was not just her being baptized, but she and all the members of her household were baptized, every single one of them. on that day. Then again in Acts 16, 25 through 34, we hear about this jailer who was ready to commit suicide and how he and all his family were baptized when he repented. And in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he wrote in 1 Corinthians 1, 14, that he baptized the entire household of Stephanas. Now, we can't just assume that there are babies in these families, but we can't assume that maybe there's not. We don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us. I often say when I get to heaven, there's going to be questions I'm going to ask God. And I'm quickly reminded, we will know by then. So there won't be any more questions, at least I think. The Bible also links the meaning of circumcision with baptism in Colossians 2, 11 and 12, which says, in him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sin nature, not with the circumcision done by hands of men, but by the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Circumcision was a sign of becoming a part of God's covenant family. It was part of it. And so was baptism. We are told that in Scripture very clearly. Now in Matthew 3, we hear of John the Baptist, one of my very favorite scriptures, of course. And we hear about the baptism of Jesus. So listen closely. I'm going to read the chapter to you. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who has spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. I don't know if you've ever seen locusts, but we did when we were in Nebraska. I would not eat one. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, in other words, he's calling you snakes, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Let me see some fruit that you really are here to be baptized because you've repented. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. Don't use Abraham as an excuse that you're allowed to be baptized here today. I can tell you that out of these stones, can't you just see John the Baptist pointing at stones on the ground? And hey, here all these so-called religious people are standing around who thought they knew everything. He said, you see these stones? You see them? God could raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. It's funny they didn't stone John the Baptist right there. And then John says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not even fit to untie, not even fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn, burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And then all of a sudden, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, Lord, and yet you come to me. And Jesus replies to him, he said, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, with whom I am well pleased. In the covenant church, we recognize both infant and believer baptism. And so to begin with, before I get into God's word, I'm going to possibly bore you just a little bit, but hopefully not, because I'm going to read to you the policy on baptism on the Covenant Church. Listen closely. The Evangelical Covenant Church has no formal creed to which it expects all of its members to subscribe, other than the acceptance of Scripture as the Word of God and the only perfect rule for doctrine, for faith and conduct. The covenant, however, has traditionally valued the historic confessions of the Christian Church, particularly the Apostles' Creed, as useful summaries of essential message expressed in the Holy Scriptures. This position of freedom within the limits set by the Scripture and the central tradition of classic Christianity allows the covenant to maintain unity within a diversity of secondary biblical doctrine positions. I know that sounds almost confusing. Prominent among these in its potential for creating disunity and misunderstanding is the doctrine and practice of the sacrament of baptism. While the ECC, or the Evangelical Covenant Church, comes out of a tradition in which infant baptism has been the primary understanding and practice, the covenant chooses to respect the biblical positions of both infant and believer baptism equally. The covenant recognizes this choice as a great challenge for the unity of the church, in that these positions, as classically stated, become mutually exclusive at critical points of theology and practice. And believe it or not, I've read this thing so many times that I do actually understand it. So if you have any questions, let me know. The weight of the challenge to maintain the unity of the church within its diversity becomes the responsibility of guys like me. If the Evangelical Covenant Church is truly to maintain this freedom of conscience for all of the covenant people, the pastors must be willing to submit their convictions and conscience concerning the doctrine and practice of baptism to the cause of the doctrine and unity of Christ's church. Since covenant ministers are the servants first of their Lord, but also of the church, it is their obligation to administer both infant and believer baptism. Devoted Christians have held each of these views, and there is room for both in the body of Christ. As representatives of the denomination, pastors give to each its own dignity and legitimacy as an accepted interpretation of biblical baptism. This they do by administering both believer and infant baptism themselves. In this way, they maintain the privilege of being the pastor of their entire flock. So since the covenant recognizes both infant and believer as true baptism, it requires all of its ordained and licensed pastors to respect and administer both of these recognized forms of baptism. In accordance with the principles, the following requirements require these three things for all pastors, and I'm almost done, I promise. While covenant pastors may and must hold their own convictions concerning baptism, and trust me, I do, covenant pastors must guard against presenting their own view in such a way as to disparage, or in other words, say of little value, of the other one. A covenant pastor must be willing to do both infant and believer. Number four, a covenant pastor must protect the right of the minority and majority, whatever its persuasion, to full participation and expression within the life of the church, always in the limits of the Holy Scriptures and the principle of Christian freedom. That's pretty much it. It's just repeating just a little bit at the end. I know there's a lot there. The next thing I would like to just talk about real briefly here is what we do in what I call an infant baptism for dedication and new life. And you've all heard it many times. You've all experienced it. And I'm going to read it to you just so you can get that now in the context of what I just read. In baptism, we're reminded of God's promises which he made in his covenant with us. He calls us and our children to put our trust in Christ, our Savior, follow him in faith, obedience, and love. God graciously includes our children in his covenant. His promises to us are eternal, for he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just as children in the old covenant receive the sign of circumcision, our children are given the sign of baptism, and we dedicate them through baptism as God's possessions, given to us for safekeeping. We are called to be loving stewards of their growth in the knowledge of God, their Father, Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit, their teacher, comforter, and guide. Infant dedication through baptism is not an act of salvation for the child, but it's an act on the part of the parents who present their child to God and to seek the special moving of God's Holy Spirit to draw their child into a saving relationship of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Salvation is a personal act of commitment between an individual and God, in which God's gift of redemption is received in the surrender of one's life, is made to Christ as Lord. No one can do this for another. For this is a choice each person must make for themselves. It's for this reason that sacred vows are taken by the parents to faithfully bring up their child to know God's loving grace as provision of salvation, so that someday too their child will personally accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. In baptism, the symbolic use of water points to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, through which God provided our forgiveness of sin and the free gift of new life in Christ to all who receive him. So along with the parents, the godparents, and all of you, we give ourselves to God as his instruments of influence to help draw our children into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we also welcome children into the care of the family of God and of the church. That was a lot, I know. But this is why we do baptismal dedications for infants. And now on to what I call believer baptism. And I'd like to think about you to think about this for a minute. When we enter the waters of baptism, I often heard it once said that when you're standing there, it's like you're standing with Jesus at the cross. And when you go down under the waters of baptism, it's like you're going into the grave with him to be buried. There's a really cute song that Randy Travis does that I have sang a couple of times. I don't want to, but Julie makes me. And it's called Pray for the Fish. And it's about a guy that was so sinful that when he was being baptized in the river, the pastor was saying, pray for the fish, because all these sins are going to roll off this guy. It's a cute song. When we enter the waters of baptism, we're proclaiming the gospel message. Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, and he lives again. Praise God for that. Amen. The grave did not and could not hold our Lord. There's nothing it could have done to hold him. By joining in baptism, we are identifying ourselves with him in his death and in his burial and also in his rising again. That's what baptism symbolizes. Romans 6, 1 through 4. Says, what shall we say then? Paul says to the Romans, he said, should we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We can say with confidence that when you are in faith in Christ, you are now dead to the power of sin in your life. And in baptism, being raised up out of the water expresses our new life in Christ and our union with him. Now, to me, if you're going to give one word to the meaning of baptism, there's a lot of words that you could use. The word that I like, and it's going to be something I'm going to be speaking a lot about in the coming weeks, it's a word that I think that we're in a crisis right now. It's identification. We're in an identity crisis, and we need to know who we identify with. Baptism speaks primarily of a personal, public identification with Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And as we read from Paul in Romans 6, 3 and 4, Paul says this, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Sounded familiar because I just read that. But did you notice as I read it again the strength of the expressions? Baptized into his Christ, baptized into his death, buried with him in baptism. And that's true, but at the very least, when you think, many scholars just say this is just a spiritual baptism he's talking about. But at the very least, I think the water baptism is in the background of this passage, as Paul refers to it. So how important is your baptism? Well, I can tell you it's not to be taken lightly. Something as a believer, baptism, it's not an option. I maybe haven't spoken loudly enough about that, but if you have not been baptized and you're a believer, you need to be baptized. You do. Baptism is not salvation, but in the New Testament, baptism followed conversion immediately. There was no such thing as a believer that was not baptized in the New Testament. It's important. So let me say again, if you've not been baptized and you're a believer, you need to be baptized. This is not a suggestion. This is God's command through Jesus Christ. It is your personal identification with the greatest act of human history, the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior that made the only way, Acts 4:12 tells us that, right? There's no other way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. No other way. I want to be perfectly clear because I want to make sure, because there has been confusion in the past, even when I was growing up. Baptism does not save you. It does not save you. Salvation comes by faith alone. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Your guilt before God is removed the moment that you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. But what baptism is to me, it's your personal testimony to that assurance. You're making it public to those around you that you are a child of God. I don't know if this was even right. I was baptized as an infant in a little country Lutheran church east of town. But when Julie and I were married and we were just, I can't even explain it other than it was one of those Holy Spirit experiences, because Julie and I both had the same feeling. We were at Blue Water and we said, we need to be baptized as husband and wife. And now I shared that in seminary, and I remember one professor, I thought he was going to tip over. He said, what did you do? You got baptized twice? I said, I guess I did. I said, I started to get worried. I thought lightning was going to strike, and this was time to go. But we didn't. And I don't know what your convictions are. I know what they were for me at that time. And I know as Julie and I, Ray, would you come finish for me? As we were, I didn't even plan on saying this, by the way. It must be a Holy Spirit thing. When we were baptized at that time, I felt like there was something new in me. And I had asked God not to make me a pastor when I was 9 years old. And I thought that was it. And I often look back at that baptism time and I thought, is that the beginning of another journey that all of a sudden I was identifying with Christ in that time? I don't know. But it meant something very special to Julie and I. That's my story. So how does your baptism relate to Jesus? It means you've turned from the old life of sin to a new life in Jesus Christ. It also means we are publicly identifying with the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it means we are openly and publicly joining the ranks of those who believe in Jesus Christ. When you were baptized, you were basically proclaiming the gospel. As you stand in the water waiting to be baptized, it's like you symbolize Jesus dying on that cross. As all the sins of yours and mine and the whole world was heaped on him. As you were lowered into the water, you're symbolizing Jesus being buried in the tomb. And as you are raised up out of the water, you symbolize Jesus rising from the dead. The sin has no part of your life anymore. You should have no business living in sin or compromising. Since you are personally being baptized, you are now saying, I've died with Christ in my old life. I don't want any part of that anymore. I am so done with that. I don't want any part of sin. So here's a pretty easy question. Do Christians need to be baptized? This is where I would hear some kids say, well, duh. Well, our Savior makes it pretty clear when he commands us this. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that even at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, Jesus chose to be baptized. He did. He was not a sinner. And yet, as John the Baptist called the Jewish people to repent, confess their sins, and demonstrate their repentance through immersion, Jesus comes up, who had never sinned, and he joins the crowd at the river to be baptized. And Jesus willfully chose to identify himself with us. Isn't that amazing? Jesus, the Holy Son of God, chose to identify himself with me, a sinner. When we follow his example in the waters of baptism, we're publicly confessing our faith in Jesus Christ as identifying ourselves as one of his. But it's important to remember this, and don't forget it, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, faith is the only requirement for salvation. Not baptism, but to fulfill his command, we are to be baptized. You know, when Jesus came to John the Baptist and he asked John to baptize him, John says, no, I won't do it. I need to be baptized by you. And why was John so alarmed at Jesus' request? Because John was baptizing sinners. And here comes the Son of God. It says, I want you to baptize me. Now, I would join John in that confusion because I would think, what are you doing? And yet God sent his own Son into the world. We are told that in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. When you are baptized, you are identifying yourself with the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only way to the Father. You are publicly saying to everyone in your life that I'm dying to my sin. I am now dead to my sin, and I am under the judgment of God, buried. My sin is buried now, and I am raised to newness of life because I'm in Christ. Baptism is important. And it's commanded of us to baptize one another. It's like baptism is almost like a boundary maker, and the church would say, this one is now one of ours. When you're part of a baptism service, it's like it's over and you can just feel like there's family here. There's another family member now. My brother, my sister has placed their faith in Jesus Christ, and they're publicly saying, I am now his. We are now family. What a greater blessing could that be? Let's close by singing our final song together. Number 193. There will be showers of blessing. We are given so much. Let us pray that we would be faithful with what we've been given. Please stand, hymn number 193. Key of G. In prayer. Father, we thank you for today, and we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who made the only way for us. We thank you for the gift and the promise, God, that we proclaim in baptism, that we are in Christ, and that we are sealed for the day of redemption, Lord, as we rejoice together as your family. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.